Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, go.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right. Movie the Podcast. We back, baby.
Man,
I mean, some of us are back.
Pause. I typed in Shasta, and it's Shasta McNasty's like the ninth Google suggestion for Shasta. I can't believe there are nine other things ahead of it.
Bro, there's, I got a kid that in one of our cases named Shasta, but it's spelled, I'm like, they named it after the fucking Soto. It's a sister's name, fucking Faco.
There's that sister's named Citrus or Citrus. What's that fucking, I fucked up. Fresca. Thank you.
Citrus.
I kill for Citrus. A Fresca or hell, I'll take a Schweppes.
Now, what did they change Fresca's name to? Something even stupid.
No, it's still Fresca.
No, you're thinking of Sierra Mist and Starry.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
Was some, there was some. Sorry, there was some like grapefruit soda that had like squirt? Some kind of squirt.
We can't do that no more.
All right, guys, what did we watch this week?
We watched my pick. We watched Conan the Barbarian, the original 1982 John Milius vehicle. It's like an airbrushed van come to life. This thing is pitch perfect.
You did some reading about John Milius while
fucking lunatic.
Huh.
Or is this your first experience with him?
I think so, probably. I don't know that I've seen...
You've seen Red Dawn, have you not?
No.
You've seen Jaws.
I know he had a small role or bit in Jaws, and he had a small... Apparently he did some rewriting on Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, he wrote USS Indianapolis scene in Jaws.
Yeah.
He came up with the idea of Saving Ryan.
Didn't you tell me he like had to kick the shit out of Robert Shaw to keep him in line?
Oh yes, yeah.
Milius
was
time.
A fucking. He was like humongous, I believe. Too, he's like a large man.
There's
he was
a great, rotund director. Right?
There's a great documentary that I believe is just called Milius. That's really good. It's about
he's a guy. If I recall correctly, claimed to be so right wing it made him an anarchist.
Well, what I saw on people commenting about that documentary on Twitter, they were like, or on Twitter on Reddit, they were like, you can either be like a complete asshole who's super talented or friendly to everybody and not be super talented. You can't be a complete asshole who's not super talented. You have to have one of the two to maintain your career forever.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have one of the two and you have zero, then you're not going to last very long.
Why has nobody made a documentary about that US? Was it USC? Because it was Lucas, Spielberg, Milius, and David Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, they all went to school together. Jesus Christ.
That's got to be the all-time favorite interview ever of David Lynch. Then he started showing me all these different animals and things. And they're all Wookiees, and I got such a headache.
George Cypriot's Ferrari, and he's like a little guy.
it's so funny. R.I.P. to a fucking legend.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, we watched Conan. I am I'm excited to talk about it.
I'm turgid.
This is a movie that before watching this on the show, this is an easy like 9-10 for me because I love this movie.
Yeah.
But reality is a cold mistress, and I had issues with this.
I feel like we had a similar trajectory.
I will spoil a little bit of my review and say that I fell asleep through this movie twice. And then I rewatched it and realized that the parts I fell asleep through, like, I really could have just watched it. I could have just said I watched it the whole way through the first time. Because, honestly, I didn't miss anything. There's a lot of fat on this steak.
We need more scenes of Arnold riding various animals through the deserts.
Oh, my God. No.
In a quote that would make John Milius happy, considering how impossibly gay this movie is, this movie certainly feels its impressive length.
It is.
Bro,
it is.
It's also a horny
film. I love it.
You got to give it to Arnold, though, man. His physique in this movie, dude, he looks like right out of a fucking comic book. That guy
Guess how much that motherfucker weighed for this?
How much? 225.
210.
How tall is Arnold?
They said he lost like 40.
Even.
Milius made him lose like 40 pounds of muscle to be more trim for the movie. That motherfucker weighs 210 pounds. He looks bigger than like John Cena in this movie.
John Milius in his office full of Thomas of Finland and fucking Robert Mapplethorpe pictures yelling at Arnold Schwarzenegger about how he's too fat has got to be like a movie unto itself.
Has anyone ever read any of the Robert E. Howard source material?
No.
Yeah,
no,
I feel about reading.
I've read like quite a bit of it because I was like, yeah. I was obsessed with Robert E. Howard after I like learned what a fucking psycho he was. Yeah. And I gotta say that as gay and sexualized as this movie is, it's pretty accurate to the source material. Yeah. A lot less racist than the source material.
Yeah, yeah.
He fights someone called the N-word queen in yeah. one of the books. Like, oh, I'm not even kidding. It's pretty bad.
Wow.
I believe it's the N-word swamp queen or so. It's something insane. But also yeah. Those books are just Conan. Well,
that's just the name of the swamp. That doesn't have anything.
Yeah. Like every one of those stories is just Conan fucking. Like he fucks yeah. like so much in those books. It's hilarious.
Is the Robert Howard the one with the fish talkers, or is that's Dune? I can't remember.
No, that's
with
Dune. Those...
That's okay, Dune. Yeah, yeah.
That's in God Emperor. That's the all female troops that Leto
enjoy
that's
the like company of other women.
Yeah, that's Leto's like Sardaukar basically, but they're all women.
I didn't realize that Conan was related to Kull the Conqueror. I guess they take place in mm-hmm. the same universe.
So does Red Sonja. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also there's like a really good movie about Robert E. Howard where oh my god, what's our boy's name?
John Milius.
No, Vincent D'Onofrio plays Robert E. Howard because Robert E. Howard is like a fucking weirdo that like lived in his house with his mom until like the day he died. It's a really good movie. I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, what did y'all watch this week? Mr. Alec.
Oh my God.
Oh, I like this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh my God. Lucky 7, baby.
Yeah. 6 of the 7 are continuing my trend of Lifetime movies because they're incredible and easy to watch and incredibly stupid.
And there's the energy level of an Alec in the hot tub stream. I just gotta say it. There's a palpable energy coming from that hot tub and I love it.
Yeah, well, I'm not at the point yet where it's too hot and I get sluggish and just want to fall asleep. Right now, I'm still like, ooh, nice. It's relaxing my back and my knees hot. In about 20 minutes, it'll be like, oh, I should get out of here before I start sweating like, out.
Shut up. Guys, stop talking. Nobody cares about the lighting. I'm sleeping.
They use six are Lifetime movies. One's a real movie. Okay. So I'll just read you the names of them, and you could probably figure out what happened based on the names of them. Two might be tricky. All right, first one, Karma, Death at Latigo Springs.
What a title.
I didn't even finish that one. That one's real bad. A girl moves back to her in with her dad in her hometown where her mom died, but it turns out she was murdered. It did have Tony Todd in it, and it did have Natasha Henstridge in it. And it came out four years ago.
She moved back after she was murdered? Like her ghost moved back?
No. The girl's mom was murdered. She moved back after her mom was murdered or something. Oh. I don't know. I couldn't keep the thread with that one. It was real bad. We didn't finish that one. We watched Abducted by My Teacher, which is based on a true story of a girl who was a 16-year-old who was seduced by her teacher and then kidnapped by him. That was interesting. It was not great. It was not awful. The teacher was played by the guy who played DJ from Roseanne. He's still acting in Lifetime movies.
Hell yeah.
And the Connors, and that's it. That was not tremendous. Next, we watched Killer Grandma. Guess what it's about?
I don't know what that's about.
It's about a killer grandma, I'm going to take
it. It's really about the intricacies of the global economy and how you can't really discern too much just from inflation. Now, it's about a killer grandma. The grandma in question is played by the woman who played Kira on Deep Space Nine, the Bajoran.
Nana Visitor.
Yeah.
Big crush.
So she still looks exactly the same, just a little bit older with gray hair. And she's really good as a crazy person. She's the grandma, if you didn't figure that out. Watched Trapped in Her Dorm Room about a girl who is friends with a guy who ends up going crazy. And over spring break, traps her in her dorm room and won't let her out because he wants to have her fall in love with him. And then she eventually gets out.
I mean, that is a, That is a winning strategy, though. You got to give it up, you know.
That's like bound, the final boss of being a sex pest. That's all right. That's
here's the last two Lifetime movies. I don't want guess what they're based on the title. The first one is Double Daddy.
What's it called?
Double Daddy.
I don't want to say what I think it is.
Double Daddy.
Is it like the Parent Trap, but it's for two gay dads? What is it?
No.
So
is it about Sean's Friday nights.
Oh, did you hear that?
A guy gets his girlfriend pregnant. Also, the same like day, he gets super drunk at a party and a girl rapes him and gets pregnant.
Oh no.
So he gets two teenage girls pregnant at the same time and is having a kid by each one of them.
Is he also a teenager?
Yes, they're all teenagers.
Okay.
They're all in high school. Sorry, I should have prepped.
Is he a secondary for the Jets? Like, that's not that far off from being reality. Like, that could be.
Oh, it was probably based on
Rogers Cromartie scenario.
Good pull, Gogs.
Thank you.
Which one, Antonio or Dominique? Oh, Antonio's just Cromartie. Never mind.
Yeah.
The last Lifetime one is called Double Mommy.
That one technically is a lot harder to do.
I'm going to get... Can I guess?
Yeah.
There's a woman... No, I already fucked this up. Never mind.
You can't get double pregnant. Like, I'm confident.
That's what I was like, wait a minute. Was it the two sperms fighting? Because I've heard that happens.
Nope, you would think that.
Okay.
She has sex with her boyfriend and gross. Gets date raped. At the same time, it gets pregnant with twins, one of which is from each person. At the same
time?
Not the same time, but like the same period of time.
Same ovulation cycle?
During the same, what do you call it? Ovulation.
These Lifetime movies really love rape.
Is it the spiritual successor to
Rape Twice? I like rape.
They came out 1 year apart, so one definitely was influenced by the other.
So did they take place in the same rape universe?
No, they didn't.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, did he say rape universe?
Rape universe. Good Lord.
Gogs, you must spend too much time hanging out with your kids watching inappropriate stuff on a Hulu.
Yeah.
The real movie I watched is kind of a certified banger. Certified... Ooh. Good movie is Blades of Glory.
Oh yeah, I enjoy that movie.
That movie's fun. Yeah, it gets the people going. So I did a deep dive, very quick deep dive on IMDb. In a 5 year period, Will Ferrell had Old School, Elf, Anchorman, Talladega Nights, Stranger Than Fiction, Blades of Glory, Semi Pro, and Step Brothers.
I've still never seen Stranger Than Fiction.
It's good. It's not a slapstick comedy. It's good, though.
Also, the most fuckable Maggie Gyllenhaal performance. I think that's when she has all the fake tattoos, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't even remember her. I remember Will Ferrell and not Kate Blanchett. I can't remember her name.
It's the British
woman. She's from Love Actually. She's Alan Rickman's wife in Love Actually. I can't think of her name.
Emma Thompson.
Frost, I wish. Mad on. And that's not including like three or four other movies he made in that period that just aren't good. Like that man had a very
kicking and screaming.
He had like a Jordan in the 90s level run. Like he was.
I think Casa de Mi Padre was in there, and there's not like Everything Must Go or something like that. Where I know on the cover he's like selling all this shit, but I can't remember. Like,
well, because he was trying to transition to like serious. Shit, and it just never took.
And then he was like, oh, I guess I'll just keep going with this goofball stuff.
Didn't he also appear in that that car salesman movie that's not particularly good, but his scene is hilarious? With
what is that?
That's Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven, yeah.
What is that? I never watched that.
The goods, yeah.
I know thought when you said Carl salesman, all I could think of him was fucking Ashley Schaefer's BMW from Heath Down and Down.
Let's feel it in my plums.
That's everything I watched. Movie wise, I'm pushing through Invincible again. I just finished season two. Not again. I never finished season two because Robert Kirkman pissed me off. But
what'd he do?
He's just annoying. Season two came out like last winter, maybe, or maybe the winter before. Yeah. And it's 8 episodes. They released 4 and then went on like a hiatus before they released the next 4. And then he made some comment. He's like, sometimes you got to wait for good things. Like, bro, it's 8 fucking animated episodes.
Right.
Like, just put all the shit out either at once or in order. You don't got to wait 3 months. It's fucking Invincible. It's not like it's something people are dying to see or wait for.
Yeah.
You know, the
whatever, I've seen a bunch of stuff on Red Note and stuff about how good season 3 is. So I decided to start finishing.
I love that season you stuck with Red Note. You're like, I love that.
I'm like the only one.
Stay in Chinese, dog.
It's getting tough, man. It's getting tough. It's not as fun as it was at first. I can only watch stuff about Chinese Costco so many times.
What about Chinese electric cars that are better than ours?
I can only watch so many videos like that over and over. China seems awesome. And I got that part of it. I don't need to keep seeing how cool it is.
Yeah. Stop rubbing it in, China.
I'm sold. Like, you already got me.
Bro, you can go to the dentist for $12 and you can schedule the thing on your phone.
Yeah, right.
Don't do too much before you start turning me the other way again. stop. He's already dead. Yeah. And we're rewatching. I was telling the boys before Shango, we're rewatching The Righteous Gemstones in preparation to watch season. Dude, you will lose your shit. You're going to fucking love it.
I've seen so many clips that are fucking hysterical.
And they are. And all of them are so goddamn good and have such good chemistry. And I was telling TJ, like, it might be Walton Goggins' best thing he's ever done is Uncle Baby Billy.
Yeah. He's so funny. Goggins and McBride together, because that's not stepbrothers. Vice Principals was really funny. Specifically were really funny in it.
But that's it. That's the 9 things I watched. TJ.
I watched 2 things.
2 things.
Both weren't great. I watched this documentary called Jeff Town. I don't know. It's a documentary that came out in like 1998. Yep. And it's about a guy with Down syndrome. Now, the reason that I watched it is because I was listening to a clip of a podcast, and the guy was saying that this movie was like unhinged because the main character, Jeff, the mentally handicapped guy, they said he's like an asshole and he like does drugs and he like bangs hookers in the movie. I'm like, oh, I got to watch this. None of that happens in the movie. Like, he is kind of an asshole, but it's just kind of sad because it's like, so he's like, he's this like, I don't know, he's like 40, 45 years old, like mentally retarded guy I shouldn't have said that. I'll bleep it out.
You're loud now.
He's got Down syndrome. Okay. So he's got Down syndrome. He's like 45 years old. He's being taken care of by his like 104-year-old like adopted mother. And she's in like horrible shape. Anyway, like, it's just about his life, and it's like a very amateurish documentary. Like, it's not made particularly well.
It just sounds sad.
Huh?
It just sounds sad.
Yeah, it's just sad, and like, there is like funny parts to it, but like overall, like, it wasn't. I was waiting for the scene where he like goes to get like hookers and does drugs.
Yeah.
Like, the best part of the movie is that he like after work, because he basically just like he works at this movie theater. And he kind of just like lives there when he's not at work, he's at home watching wrestling, because of course he is, but he gets like drunk all the time, which is kind of funny. But it wasn't great. It wasn't really memorable. It was some reason the version I watched was on YouTube. The whole movie was on YouTube, but it was introduced by Lloyd Kaufman. Because I guess this was ripped off of some anniversary DVD that they released.
Is this a trauma production?
Yeah, it's a trauma production.
Huh. And it's that can't do anything.
Fuck is this? Like, is
from
very
my
strange.
Dinner with Andre to Jeff Town to Sergeant Kabuki Man.
Yeah,
NYPD. We got it all.
I would not recommend Jeff Town. It's only about, I think it's like 54 minutes long. But yeah, there's nothing to watch about it. And it's not even like, I don't know where this guy on the podcast came off of, like, Jeff's an asshole, because he's just, he's not, he's just kind of, you know, he is who he is, but I don't know. It wasn't very entertaining. I was hoping to get some cheap laughs. Nothing. I also watched, I over the years, this is not going to, my struggle doesn't really pertain to any of you guys. You're not going to care, but there's a director, a Japanese director that like, much like the band Coheed and Cambria, I've been told if you like Takashi Miike, you're going to love Sion Sono.
If you love Coheed and Cambria, you'll love Takashi Miike.
Yeah, pause. Is this a Mars Volta Coheed and Cambria connection?
I jumped ahead of myself. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm glad I saved you.
If you like Coheed
and Cambria, I'm glad we're so uniquely retarded that I knew exactly what you meant without it being mentioned.
Yeah, no, people you have always told me.
Finish each other's sandwiches.
That's right. No, people have always said, oh, you like the Mars Volta, you'll love Coheed and Cambria. And it's like, no, I don't.
Seems racist. And
so in the, I mean, how?
Pause. Well,
hang on. I'm going somewhere with this. At least the singer from Mars Volta is Hispanic, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
The singer from Coheed and Cambria is also Hispanic. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, and they're both Hispanic people that make white people music.
That is, well, I don't know. I would argue that
like Rage Against the Machine
doesn't really make white people music, but
you know,
there's a vast majority of their catalog is in Spanish. So, but anyway.
Can we pause?
DEI music.
Speaking of music. Speaking of music for a second. I have the newest Madden.
Oh yeah.
And I like it's fine, but I
get college football.
It kills time for me. I don't know anything about college football or the players, so I don't care. But the current Madden, I don't know how long they've been doing this, has like all the songs from all the Maddens.
Oh shit.
Oh, I like that.
So like the other day I was playing and Andrew WK started playing, and I got so fucking fired up. It reminded me of like Madden 08 or whatever, that party hard. Right. I was losing my shit for like a couple of seconds in the living room. I was like, oh my God. That's so good. I haven't heard Church from Big Boy, which was on another one of them. And that's like my favorite Outkast album is that double album. Anyway, sorry, TJ, continue.
You're fine. No, but I was going to say that there's a director, a Japanese director named Sion Sono. That people have always said, well, if you like Takashi Miike, you're going to like Sion Sono because he's weird. And I've watched, I have watched 5 of his movies now.
Is Sono a Japanese name?
No,
I thought it was a... I know a lot of baseball players named Soto.
Soto could be Japanese. I mean, it sounds pretty close. You know?
Why not? Anything could be Japanese.
Yeah, I mean... Right. But anyway, so he's known for making weird movies. I've watched 5 of his movies, the 5th being the one I watched yesterday. He made one movie that I really like, and it's called Tokyo Tribe, and it's insane.
Hell yeah,
that
movie
musical, and it's fucking bonkers. It reminds me of like a Yakuza game. I really like that movie. I have not liked pretty much anything else I've seen from him. He made a movie called Suicide Club that I don't really care for. He's made a couple other movies that I didn't really get. I watched this movie last night called Anti-Porno, which is like kind of one of his more, generally liked films, and I didn't get it at all. I didn't care for it. It's weird because like the backstory of it is that he worked with some Japanese softcore porn company to make this, but he like, I guess it was part of like him and like 5 other directors made some kind of movie, and like I guess most of them were softcore porn movies, but this is like this kind of
what? Point of like order, art. Isn't all Japanese porn softcore porn because everything's blurred out?
No.
I mean, not really, no. I mean, they're still having penetrative sex when they're having it blurred out.
I mean, I don't know. Anything could be happening behind that blur.
The thing about softcore just means there's no, like, actual sex, right?
Oh, so it's, boo.
Anyway, that's besides the point. So this is, like, his... I don't know. This is, like, this kind of... goofy art film, and by the end of it like I get the message of the movie, but it's dumb. Like it takes forever to get there, and it's kind of like I don't know. I obviously have a soft spot for art house movies, but I also like, there's a very fine line between being cool and interesting and being pretentious and annoying. And this is like the kind of art film that I think people think of like everything is. Like, I think this movie is just like, I don't know, it's just weird for being weird. The only thing I liked about it is the lead actress is really hot and she's naked through like most of the movie, which I was fine with. But yeah, I'm not a fan of anti-porno. I didn't really care for it. There's some cool visuals. Like there's some neat, neat camera moves that he does sometimes, but overall it did not keep my interest. So this was a pretty down week for me. And that's not just because I watched a movie about a guy with Down syndrome. Sean.
Oh, that's me. The guy with Down syndrome.
Another guy with Down syndrome.
I watched the last episode of Severance, Cold Harbor, which was excellent. I loved it. It was so good. Like a mini movie.
It's one of those things. I need season three right now.
Yeah, but it could also end right now. And you know what? I could live with that. You know what I mean? Like
they did already renew it for season three. Yeah. But yes, I agree. It's actually like a good ending. Like it's a perfectly fine ending.
Yeah. I accidentally watched a Tyler Perry movie. So there's a movie on Netflix. I didn't choose to watch it, first of all, not because I'm racist, but because I don't like Tyler Perry generally, because he's racist. It's called 6888. It's based, you know, air quotes, on a true story about a black women's battalion that went overseas during World War II to deliver mail.
Sounds interesting.
The story is interesting. The movie is terrible. So Kerry Washington is the lead. I like her, but yeah, because good. So when we talk about movies that like seem like plays, and then we're talking about like My Dinner with Andre and Vanya, and it's like, oh, this is pretty good. This is a movie that seems like a play because everybody, especially Kerry Washington, is acting like fucking Dennis's impression of CCH Pounder, and it's always like, God damn it, Dutch! Like, that's how everybody talks in the movie.
How many of us are we going to run in for the CIA?
And it's like, fucking Dean Norris, I guess, is the guy from Breaking Bad. He's in there playing the most southern racist commando. And I'm sure it was like that, but everything's so arch, and it's like, I can't take any of this. Dean Norris
the guy from Total Recall as well? That guy,
is he in brother? Total Recall?
Which one was Dean Norris?
You're thinking of Dean Winters?
Stockwell. No.
I'm thinking
Dean Stockwell in Total Recall.
The one from Quantum Leap.
Who was
Dean Stockwell?
Oh. No, who's in Breaking Bad?
Dean Norris.
Dean Norris.
He played Hank.
Yeah, he was in Bar. He was like he's the one with the girl with the three tits. He throws the midget the gun.
Oh fuck, is that him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I thought you were talking about Dean Stockwell from.
I thought you were talking about Quantum Leap.
Blue Velvet and Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
But man, like I wouldn't recommend. By the way, it's a good story.
Yeah, I want to read more about the actual story because it sounds interesting. Just make
a documentary. Yeah. And then I watched nine of ten episodes of a show on Hulu called Delhi Boys about these Pakistani brothers.
I'm glad you brought this up. Anthony, a friend of the show, Anthony.
Yeah.
He had a show for years that was going to star him and Doug Phillips called The Delhi Boys. And like most things, they poached him. Hulu's going to be talking to his lawyers.
If Anthony had one more year, he probably would have made it.
What you're telling me is that Anthony saw the movie Clerks at some point.
Well, it's more because he worked in a deli.
Sure. It's two guys that work in a store. I got it.
The theme song was it one can't reach, one the other can't read.
Yeah, that's correct. One can't reach, one can't read. It's the deli boy. That's really the entire pitch of the show.
It's no riverboat really, shit hammer.
It really writes itself if you think about it. Yeah. Like, anyway,
it's just like I'm just kind of done with TV for the most part, like except for like a Severance or something. It's like a crime comedy, and I feel like that genre is starting to get a little played out. Like, I don't know, it's just like I'm very kind of poo-poo on media lately. It's just like everything just seems like it's just content. We're just filling space, you know, and like everybody's trying, and like it's not offensively bad, and it's not like particularly good. It's just kind of there. And that's how I feel about a lot of shit now. I'm just going,
it's just there. It's a five. It's just there. It's just bleh. Yeah.
Gobbles.
The only thing I watched was Meteor Man because I missed last week's show.
Oh, yeah.
It's a six. It's inoffensive. It's it's bleh. Like, no, thank you, Robert Townsend. Oh, I guess I also watched Beauty and the Beast with my kids. Pretty good cartoon movie, Beauty and the Beast. The cartoony one. Yeah, okay. Shout not out the to
Linda
Mrs.
Hamilton
Potts.
And Ron Perlman television show.
No.
There's a live action. Right. They did a live action remake.
They
with
did. Yeah, what's
Dan,
her name?
Dan Stevens. Hermione. Dan Stevens is in it.
Yeah. You know, and she was full, you know, the Beauty was going to just stick with that guy in full beast mode. Then he turned to a pretty boy and everything.
Yeah. So. He could have turned into Marshawn Lynch and instead he turned into a white guy. Downgrade.
Dude, Beauty and the Beast with Marshawn Lynch as the Beast is such a brilliant idea. Why has that not happened?
How has no one done that yet?
Beauty and the Beast mode. But no, that's it. So what, should we talk about Conan?
Let's talk about Conan.
Before we get too into it, Alec brought this up, and like it's very noticeable that this is a rescan and they cleaned it up, but I feel like it's to the movie's detriment because it just kind of looks goofy sometimes because it's so cleaned up. I don't know if I'm the only one that felt like that, but it looks strange.
I thought it looked good.
Looks great, but like it does, maybe it's just like it doesn't look how I remember, so I find it off.
Oh, yeah, kind
of
like,
this is like one of those movies. You've seen it before, so you know what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it would benefit from the jank. It would help.
Yeah,
like,
the jank, bro.
The movie that I was trying to think of with Vincent D'Onofrio about Robert E. Howard is called The Whole Wide World.
Mm.
It's very weird. I highly recommend
another great Outcast song.
D'Onofrio.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right.
What's his name? Outcast songs for the next 10 minutes. Bombs Over Baghdad.
Oh, that's a banger.
That's one of those songs that makes you drive like an asshole when it comes on. Can't be helped.
Yeah. So here we go. Conan the Barbarian.
Conan the Librarian.
Not the adventurer, the cartoon.
Not the adventurer, not the conqueror.
The destroyer.
The Don't regular you know? Ass barbarian.
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Conan the Librarian, shout out. Dino De Laurentiis presents. Movie opens with a village of nondescript Nordic, what have you.
If you would have told me that they filmed this opening scene in the same place they filmed the opening scene of Gladiator, I would not have been able to tell you any different.
Yeah. It's just snowy and piney, and it's just dudes being dudes and ladies dudes and just dudes taking their sons who are also dudes to the top of mountains and being like, yo.
Goggs is my favorite Goggsism ever. The from fucking, what is the Shogun Assassins? What's the original one called, TJ? The Japanese one?
Lone Wolf and Cub.
Lone Wolf and Cub, where it's like where the men were men and the babies were also men.
So Conan, also big shout out to the casting director because they made this nonplussed looking child look just as confused in the face as Conan is later when he sees boobies.
Conan's dad also doesn't know how to say their own god's name correctly, which really bothered me. I don't know why.
It's
just like Krom. He can't say it. I'm like, why did they leave that in?
So Conan's dad's like, yo, come with me to the top of this mountain. I'm gonna tell
you why. Literally the top. It looks like they're in fucking outer space the way they shot this scene. It's amazing.
They're like, and he sits him down, he goes all Jordan Peterson, he's like, bitches. Shit, but steals for real. And Conan's like, shout out, dad. And then they go back down the mountain.
Yeah, they learn the riddle of steel.
Riddle of steel, because that's where, you know, someone stole something from the giants in the mountain. And Krom, who we love, but we also disrespect and hate somehow, because I won't pray to you, but I will.
I love
ask
that they treat their god like some shitty uncle.
You know? Yeah, but also like, later on in the movie, Conan just accidentally falls into the like throne room of what I assume is Crom. Like, what the
later he'll, but like, but he also just says, you know, if you do a shot every time he says Crom, you'll have 5 or 6 shots on you.
Look, so, Crom, you can either help me move this couch or you can go fuck yourself.
So Conan, young baby Conan, goes to fish in a puddle in the woods for some reason. And then the black metal band of Thulsa Doom and his sexy boys show up. And they are riding through the woods to an excellent score, might I add. And they come through and they just slaughter the dick out of these villagers on their, you know, conquest looking for steel, I guess. And Conan's dad puts up a hell of a fight.
The whole thing about Conan's people are the only one that have solved the riddle of steel. So we've made to assume that the rest of them, like, what are their weapons made out of?
Iron. Yeah. What is it? Just iron. Is it only steel? Like, is there other metals are okay? Like, this seems like hyper specific.
So I think what they're getting at is the idea that you had the Bronze Age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And bronze is like softer, and then you had iron. And iron's very brittle. And then you've got steel, which is alloyed because it can be sharper and it'll last longer and it's stronger, but it's a little flexible. So steel would be, if we were playing the Civilization computer games, steel would be an important step in the advancement.
Interesting. Thank you, guys.
A minute with Gogs. So now
you're the metalloid man. You live on your magnetic planet.
Your wall is like your floor.
Yeah, he would have scurried up like a. So, anyway. Thulsa Doom and LaFours and the other guys show up, and they just like have at. Conan's dad gets eaten by dogs. Everything's getting burnt.
Bad puppies.
Yeah.
All the helmets in this movie also are bad. Helmets are
dope.
And also, can we take a brief like pause to reflect on how much better James Earl Jones is at acting than everybody else in this movie combined?
Yeah. Him and what's his name, Max von Sydow, are actually are like doing work, and everyone else is just paychecking. It's the wizard's okay. The wizard's got his moments. I like him.
That dude's Christian name is Mako.
Is it really Mako?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So Conan and his mom are like the last two standing. And so she's like facing down handsome ass Thulsa Doom. And Darth Vader like gives her like the sexy eyes. And she's like, well, maybe. And then he lops her head off. And then Conan and all the rest of the baby barbarians get hiked off to the north while Thulsa Doom goes to the south. And then they get installed into something I'm trying to put into my backyard to toughen up my children. Which is just a big ass wheel.
Yeah.
And for the next
presumably he was on that wheel for 20 years.
20 years. For the next 20 years, Conan the Barbarian gets absolutely shredded pushing this mill for reasons. You don't see him produce anything.
Remember that joke in The Simpsons where they had Homer do that? Like, what does this do? And then they pan up and it was just powering a Lazy Susan. Like,
yeah.
I wonder what makes a spin. Who cares?
So my man gets just like jacked as hell. And then some other dude's like, that dude's jacked as hell. Here's $30. I'm going to go take him and put him in a fighting pit. He'll figure it out. Dude, so they do.
This is the best part of it. The whole movie should have just been him in the fucking fighting pits.
Yeah. Like,
the fighting pit part is the best part of the movie.
Fighting pit part is tremendous. So they sit his ass down at the fighting pit. They're like, just wait here until it happens. And he doesn't know shit about fuck. So they're like, all right. So then a crowd forms around him. And then they kick him into here against like Reptile from fucking Mortal Kombat. So. He doesn't know. He's got the mind of a child. Like, what is he supposed to do?
All he knows is push wheel.
Yeah. If this other guy was just like a horizontal log, that dude's day would be over. But Conan doesn't know anything. So he just, I guess, relies on primal barbarian instinct and beats this person to death. And then he gets money and wine and titties. And he's like, this is cool.
Yeah, but then they cut and he gets those cool like Voluto from Soul Calibur gauntlets. Yeah.
So my man is out here and he's down in this pit putting in the reps and he kills, I don't know, 15, 20 people, gets real goddamn good at it. Yeah. And they're like, you know what? We're taking this on the road. We're going to the East. And by that, feudal Japan.
They train him to be a samurai. He's got a fucking katana. I did not remember him getting a fucking katana in this movie.
So my man is swinging the sword around, like learning forms. Some dude was joking, and that guy got punched in the dick. And then they're like, Conan, you're going to come with us to go, I don't know, be Mongolians or something. And like, bet. And they sit him down, and then they get a decree that our army was victorious again. And then dude was like, hey, what's best in life? Our guy's like, I don't know, horses and shit. He's like, wrong.
Yeah.
Like, what about your bro that's like, I'm afraid my son won't understand me. It's like, shut up, queer.
I love this line so much that I don't know if you guys know. You guys have been to my basement. There's a header that runs the full length of my basement. Like, it is 25 feet long, and it's about 6 inches high. And I was very much thinking about putting, to see your enemies driven before you. No, it's to crush your enemies, to see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentations of their women just across this whole
head. Hell yeah.
Because that line rules.
The
thing about that line is it really, really applies to your day-to-day life, too. So it would really make sense on your wall.
But his best, just vengeance.
I want to hear the lamentations of all the other climate engineers' wives.
Yeah, as they're driven before me. So now, anywho,
also, have we gotten to the part where they're like, and we taught Conan how to read and how to rape? Have we gotten?
Oh yeah,
to that
no. They breeded him like a stud horse.
Yeah,
and they taught him
like
how
he's like a nice rapist, which is like a very weird scene. Like gives her a blanket and it's like everybody's watching, like yikes.
And they're like placing bets for some reason. I don't understand that. So Conan studs out. So there's, I don't know how many little Conits are out in the world.
And they invent pulling out in like this era.
They specifically wanted him to pull in. So like anyway, so he's out here. Yeah, he's out here breeding, drinking wine, learning poetry, and murdering people, right? Like, he's like Motley Crue. So now
Conan is a little bit of a Mary Sue. Like, he's like a genius. He's like a samurai.
He's a Lilu Dallas.
Who?
Yeah.
A Lilu Dallas. Like, he learns how to do everything very quickly.
So then one day, like, the dude who bought him from the wheel, I guess, had like one too many like vodka tonics. And he's like, ah, Conan, you're good. And he like unshackles him. And then like a dog that doesn't know any better, he has to shoot him.
Go away. You're free.
So he shoos him into the wilderness. Conan goes running across the Great Plains, pursued by wolves, finds himself on a rock mountain, falls into a hole, starts a fire out of nowhere, and turns out he's in the, like, maybe Crom's throne room, because then he finds, okay, run it back. His dad's sword, which his mom was wielding, was stolen by Thulsa Doom, played by Darth Vader. Now come back to here. He finds another steel sword, the iconic, the one that looks like the He-Man sword.
Yeah, that sword rules.
In this throne room, he, like, bangs it clean, and then he's like, all right, cool. I got a sword now, Crom. And then he goes out of the hole, and then he lays with a witch who's also hot.
Also very nonplussed about, like, just being in God's living room. Like, I feel like that would be very
big. He didn't really give a fuck at all.
His whole thing with God is like, well, you know, he should have a shirt that says, look, you Crom, I'll do it myself.
I don't pray for you. I don't have time.
he actually says, what did he say? He's like, Crom, I'll pray to you. I don't have the tongue for it or something.
I thought he said, I don't have the time for it, but I guess it's probably the tongue. That makes more sense.
He's like, so help me if you will. Otherwise, get fucked. And it's like, you know what?
That's a religion. This whole movie, like, retroactively is like Berserk for gay white teenagers. Well, this, opposed to like Berserk is like Berserk for gay Japanese teenagers.
This scene coming up where he bangs the witch is very similar to the very first pages of Berserk.
Yeah, so he puts it down and the cackles her way into like the afterlife or something. I don't know. And then
I don't know. She just kind of goes away. I don't know.
She's like, very hot though.
I thought she was gonna pop up later in the movie or something, but no.
But there is a Deus Ex Machina later that I'll bring up. So then he's like, all right, cool. I guess this house is mine. So he raids the witch's house, adorns himself in her furs, walks outside, and he finds his thief buddy, whose name I still don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
And old boy's chained to the wall so that he's like, oh, save me. He's like, tell Grom to save you. It's like they have a little back and forth. They saves him. Then those two go on like a little, like, they go on spring. They're just wandering through towns, eating rats, punching camels, and having a good time. And the whole time they're looking.
His name is Subotai.
There we go. So him and, I'm just going to call him Steve. Him and Steve are going through town looking for double-headed snakes. And they're like, yo, you mean that Tower of Set? How? Also, here, have some Stygian mushrooms. All right, cool. Yeah. So him and Steve are like, well, we're going to go climb this tower now. So they go climb the tower, or they're getting ready to climb the tower, and they run into Valeria, who is like the lady from Gauntlet. So she is like, you jerks didn't even bring a rope. And like, all right, I guess we're a team now. So the three of them climb up this bitch, and then they climb down in the middle, and then you've got one of those metalheads that was part of Thulsa Doom's gang is sitting there with a bunch of hot ladies getting ready to have a sacrifice. And so Valeria's like, oh, I'll just blend in. You two go down to the basement. They go down to the basement. They steal some gems. They steal a big-ass jewel protected by a big-ass snake. And then on the way out, Conan's like, oh, check out that jade necklace. That looks important. I'm going to stare at it for 2 minutes straight while this giant snake gets ready to eat my face. They murder the snake. They climb out. The sacrifice lady jumps down, sees the dead snake, and I can't tell if she's screaming because both of her legs are broken or if she's screaming because the snake is dead. Either way, guards are alerted. They're, you know, chaos ensues. The Trebrant escapes. They don't want to live forever. They jump into the pool on the south lawn, and then they just go party their dicks off for the next, I don't know, year. They get hammered. They're just doing barbarian blow, having a great time. So now they need their next big score because they're a crew. And they get, Conan falls asleep in some porridge and gets recruited by Max von Sydow. And he's like, hey, gang, my girl got seduced by the snake man. Have these buckets of rubies. I don't need rubies no more. The glimmer stops glimmering when your kids aren't here no more. Do whatever you do. Go get my girl back. They're like, all right, we can do that. So they head off into pick a direction. And Conan gets, he seduces a man into going behind some rocks. And then Conan, I guess, breaks his neck, steals his priest robes, and then just meanders into the Doom Cult. And the Doom Cult's like, Thulsa Doom's got like a David Koresh meets Samaria thing going on. And like,
there's all sorts of. This priest gambit that he does, first of all, 0% chance those ropes fit him when he puts them on.
Absolutely zero.
Thing the second.
He didn't even size up the guy. The guy was a twink.
That guy thought he was about to fuck Conan.
Oh, for sure. You should be proud of your body.
Show off your body. Like, he was like,
John Milius. That's his self-insert. But also,
dude, that guy got so horny.
I know there's like 1,000 priests there, but can't they do one of these things is not like the other when all of a sudden this like absolute colossus is fucking Dolomite in robe shows up? Well,
then, Dolomite, like, hell yeah.
This unit of a man who doesn't know any of the customs, like just wanders up the stairs to go be part of the ceremony thinking, oh,
he's giving people the Wakanda forever and the fucking boat. He doesn't know what to do.
Well, his dumbass hands over the snake pit necklace because these guys aren't smart enough to put two and two together. And then fucking doom metal shows up and they're like, that dude's an asshole. And they're like, shit, you're right. So then they just beat the piss out of him. And then Thulsa Doom's like, yo, check this out. You want to know what power is about? He's like, I used to be a prick when I was a kid, but now I'm still a prick, but I'm a different kind of prick. Now I'm a cult prick. Check this out. You think steel strong? Hey, baby, throw yourself off a cliff. And then kadoosh. He's like, you see that? That's what I'm about now.
He's like, hey, white bitches, why don't you come here?
And then he's like, you know what? You broke into my house and you killed my pet. Fuck that noise. You're getting crucified to the tree of woe. And they're like, all right, well, that sounds awful. And it is. So this is the second movie where I want to bring this up. The second movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger has been crucified to something. He's on this tree. The vultures are waiting for him. He kills a Muppet.
Oh my God.
Maybe to live.
That's the best part. When he fucking bites that fucking bird and it like, awesome.
But
when he killed the snake was groaning.
Oh yeah.
I don't think snakes make noise like that. It's like the shark growling in Jaws 4.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about the snake mode.
I forgot about a key thing. Before he almost got blown by that priest, he met up with the wizard guy in the hut and they traded stories or something. And he's like, I'm gonna go find Thulsa Doom. The other guy's like, all right, I'm sure I'll be back later. And then sure enough, now he's nailed to a tree. The wizard guy must have told Steve where to find him. Steve cuts him down from the tree. They take him back to the wizard shack. They cover him in tattoos. And just like another famous guy who was nailed to a cross, he is brought back to be the savior of mankind. But this time,
Wolverine?
with Viking lady protecting him from the Wild Hunt, I guess.
Right. The Witcher 3 expansion?
Yeah. So Conan's back, and he's better than ever. And we're going to go get ourselves covered in weird zebra camouflage that doesn't really ever pay off.
And then we're going to take 45 minutes to sneak around this castle to the tune of Yakety Sax. The music in this scene is fucking absurd.
I love the music in this movie. So they sneak into the kitchen where they're making human soup on the regular.
With like a gray base.
Italian wedding soup featuring real Italians.
Yeah, it looks like the worst version of the food from Hook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're eating fucking Matrix food.
Well, it was like there's fucking, like, you go into this place and you think it's the mines from Temple Doom, but it's really just, there's just carcasses just hung up on the wall. And then these dudes bring this giant bowl of piss to the orgy. Yes. You have a bunch of mongoloids and a bunch of hot broads just like writhing on the floor the whole time. Thulsa Doom's like, now's the time for me to turn into a steak. So he does. So they start lighting everything on fire. They fight everyone. The princess is captured. Conan kills. They dispatch a number of people. The two metalheads. LaFours smashes a column out with his giant ass hammer, and then they escape. And so then, whilst escaping,
they go bye byes.
Thulsa Doom unsnakes himself, and he's like, "Well, this certainly won't do." And so he pulls out like a garden snake, turns it into an arrow, a la Cobra La shit from fucking G.I. Joe.
The movie.
Serpentor would have done the same, and I believe had. He fires the arrow snake at Valeria. She catches in the lung, and then she asks Conan to make out with her till she dies, and then that happens.
I mean, you know.
Which he does.
Which she does. And so then they burn her ass up on a hill to set, like, they're lighting the fires of Gondor so that they can call the snake people to these ruins. And then they do a Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven, Three Amigos thing where they set up traps and shit all over the town. And they make some, like, predator trap things, which are cool. Like a whack-a-mole man psych happens. And they fight all the Doomians off in this place, and the battle's fun. People get got. The KD is through the roof. Thulsa Doom is like, oh, I can't get the princess back. I'm just going to go back to base. But before I leave, I'm going to turn another snake into an arrow. But then Steve saves her with a shield, and they're like, all right, cool. So then Thulsa Doom's army's been got. He's like, well, it's time to spread my curse all over the world. So he goes off and he prays. And
that's what I say before off. I nut.
He's like, y'all are going to be the flood that washes away the people. So go get ready to do that because I'm Thulsa Doom. And then Conan shows up with his new Krom sword. And then during the fight with one of the metalheads, he broke his dad's sword. His poor quality, Papa Conan. And he takes that and then he, like, slowly. This is
a tremendous set, by the way. I just want to, like, give credit.
Through the roof.
Looks awesome.
He beheads Thulsa Doom in four strokes. Like, it takes a minute. Like, he's there the whole time. Hey,
pause.
Yeah.
Did anybody else, Dogs, you've probably seen this more than anybody, I would assume, but did anybody else remember this as them having a fight at the end of it? Because that's what I remembered. That's it?
No, this is like, it's even better just because he just ends him. Like, he tries to hit him up with the... He tries to give him a boy named Sue. He's like, I made you the man you were because you wouldn't be that without me. And then he's like, nah, I'm good.
That didn't work.
Oh, wait, but I forgot about the Deus Ex Machina. During the battle, Valeria's Viking lady ghost comes back and blinds the other dude.
Right.
And then Conan whacks his ass off. He beheads Thulsa Doom, chucks his ass down the stairs. Then all the cultists are like, well, I guess that's that. Time to go home. So they do. That's not a very strong belief system. Conan takes a oil brazier and then lights a mountain on fire. I don't know how that works. And then we're treated to him sitting across, like, on an iron throne as an old man. And
the movie started with a title crawl, and then we get an ending crawl too.
And there's a lot of voiceover in this.
Yeah, it's a lot of voiceover.
Mr. Conan was
great. All narrated by his wizard friend.
Yeah.
He pushed the rod for 20 years.
Good job, Scoggs, by the way.
Yeah, good job.
This movie rules.
Counterpoint.
This movie does not rule. There's a lot of fun moments in this movie, but god damn, does it take its time to get there.
Oh, it's like, it's weird, right? Because it feels like four movies that got smashed together, but then they cut out all the cartilage. So it's just like one set piece, and then it's Conan's fuck around hour, and then another set piece.
There's multiple adventures in this movie.
Adventures could be like a tight 90-minute movie.
Yeah,
if I mean, not 85.
It's one of those things, we've talked about this a thousand times on the show. I know I've watched this movie a ton, especially as a kid. I don't know how I had the patience for it. Like, I don't know.
Well, we've talked about this before. My theory is when we watch these movies, like The Hook and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, I'm not just picking on Alec, I swear to God, but those are the two movies that I thought of off the top of my head. It's that in the middle of the movie, you're acting it out and fucking off, so you're not paying attention to all the parts where they're just dicking around, like, endlessly.
There is.
Well, also, we are just so bombarded with content nowadays.
Well, like, that's also true. I didn't have a phone to look at.
Yeah. But at the same time, Blade Runner 2049 is 3 hours long, and I'm not like, oh my god, are they going to get to the fucking replicant factory? You know what I mean? Like, there's just the connective tissue is thin, and like the movie already doesn't have dialogue, which I guess to its credit, like, it doesn't really need it, but it's filled in with voiceovers and just like it feels like they're just farting around. I'm like, this cut, you could cut half an hour of this movie and lose nothing, and I think it's a better experience. Like,
probably
or
you could act an hour and I'd still be happy. I love this. I'm a big fan. Like, this movie's, I don't know, I was sitting there just like, I sat down and I just like, I got my bowl of snacks and I was just enjoying myself. And then in the middle of it, I started doing push ups. What kind of
snacks?
Peanut butter filled
HGH pretzels. HGH and Tremolo.
Those are good ones.
Peanut butter filled pretzels and those Korean fried chicken rice puff bites from Costco that are so goddamn good. Oh,
the red bag. Never had those. Things are out. Those things are outstanding. God, you don't go to Costco, bitch.
Peanut butter and pretzels stress me out because pretzels are cheap and peanut butter is cheap. Somehow, when you put them together, they are like prohibitively expensive.
Is it like a labor? Yeah. There's some guy with little hands scooping a little bit of peanut butter to eat pretzel puff.
and licking it closed and sealing it back up.
Oh no. I don't know. No. I wanna love this movie, man. I remember loving this movie, but it was such a slog to get through. I mean, this movie has like five soggy middles. Like, that's the problem. Like, it has the weirdest pacing I've ever seen in a movie. Like, it kind of like,
well, the pacing's awful. Don't get me wrong.
It like stops and starts like three separate times, and none of it feels, to Sean's point, none of it comes together. Like, it feels like three separate movies. Like,
and like, I'm not like super familiar with the source material, but you could be like, oh, yo, this is like eight books that they put in this, but like, okay, cool, that makes sense.
I
fell into God's living room and fucked a witch is like at least a movie unto itself, but yeah. Like, it's just like, okay, whatever, we're getting past that. Like,
yeah, it never like, really I don't know. Focuses I keep, like, on every anything for very long.
Every beat it hit just like reignited something that I liked about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, goofy. Like oh yeah, snake murder.
Normally I don't love this, but like all those times where they're just kind of dicking around, walking around the Hyborian countryside, give me more Thulsa Doom interacting with people, because like he's actually doing stuff and he's great every time he's on screen.
Yeah.
Like,
I would take a Thulsa Doom origin story movie. That would be a good time.
Oh God, don't give many ideas, please. Alec, was your favorite part of the movie when he punched that camel?
The Blazing Saddles reference.
I say my favorite part of the movie was the subtlety. The nuance with which he traveled the countryside.
Right. Yeah, it's very, very nuanced.
It is a bit cerebral.
Yeah, it was a thinker. It's a thinker. It's a thinker. This movie is something else. I'd never seen it before.
Wow, really?
And
that's crazy.
I want my fantasy movies full of goblins and orcs, not big men on camels.
Yeah, there's no besides the big snakes, I guess. There's no
snake.
There's no like dragons or goblins or anything like that.
But they had that stupid fake snake for the one scene where he killed it. And then when James Earl Jones turns into the snake, they had a real snake like moving away at like a snail's pace.
I mean,
like, why not just make another fake one and make it move faster? Like, it was escaping so slow. I was expecting Conan to grab the tail and like pull it back.
Make it groan again.
I want to hear more snake groans. Black snake groan.
Also, when the fucking thief like uses his arrows and like pins it to the wall, and then Arnold just literally is like, whack. Just like, I mean, you guys know me. I love a good like goofy practical effect, but man, that shit's funny as hell when he like cuts its head off. Like, it looks like a fucking pinata. It's great. I love it.
I did read somewhere that they all used real swords. I mean, they weren't sharp, but like that's why it's like so meaty when they're swinging it. But it's also kind of why it looks a little janky and boring.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it doesn't need to be fucking Attack of the, or whatever, Revenge of the Sith. Like, it doesn't need to be like ape shit, but like a little bit more. Man, this movie's janky as fuck.
It's super janky. It is fun. I did have fun with it. And I love moments in this movie. I just, as a whole, I didn't love it. I just, the parts that are great. Anytime Thulsa Doom is on screen, I love it. I love the costuming. I love the sets. I love how epic it is. Like, it is.
Yeah.
I'll give them credit. Like, they definitely made like a epic fantasy movie. Like, it feels massive, which I'll give it, you know, credit. And Arnold's great. Arnold's got a lot of charisma, even back then.
Yeah, but it doesn't count if you wrote a 700 page book and every 30 pages is just 60 blank pages. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not.
I mean, you've read fantasy books, Sean. A lot of them are kind of like that.
They're very tedious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like hard sci-fi. You know what I mean?
I fucking hate fantasy books. Yeah, no, it's the worst. Man.
I mean, I like some fantasy books. Most of them I can't stand, but yeah.
I read those books or whatever, those fucking Forgotten Realms novels from Giant.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, dude, fucking Forgotten Realms was the shit. Dragonlance. I read all those books. I love those books.
We can all agree that
what was the evil wizard, Gogs? Roslin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was cool as shit.
Yeah, I always remember that because it was also Calvin's babysitter's name.
And his brother was named Stern, and he was a knight. God, I remember all that shit.
What are you trying to ask me?
I'm trying to say, we can all agree that the Thulsa Doom, James Earl Jones, was the best part of the movie.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I love this movie as a cultural touchstone, but like, it's like, I'm trying to put this. Like a really cool, like, muscle car from the 60s, right? Like, this thing rules, but you ever actually drive it and it's like, it's slower than like a Nissan Altima is now. It's just
horsepower.
You know what I'm saying? Just, like, it's just like, you know, it's beefy. Like, it's cool, but it's like, man, this isn't fun to drive.
All balls, no dick. I got you. Right.
Where's the power steering?
That classic car euphemism, all balls, no dick. all right, five knuckle shuffle time, I think. What the hell, Gogs?
I'm giving this bad boy an 8. Like, I love this. Oh, it's not 10.
I thought you were going to give it a 10.
No, I'm not.
Wait a minute.
I'm not going to cue the winged serpentus. Like, yeah. I get it. The movie's not without its faults, but I will, like, an 8 means I will rewatch this happily, and I will rewatch this.
You can watch it as much as your heart's content. I mean,
yeah,
you want to waste your time. Go ahead.
I think in the last fiscal year, I've probably watched this movie 3 times, not Jesus for the show. Christ. Like, Jesus.
Do you count your movies by fiscal year? Yes, we had a busy Q3 with Predator 2.
Yeah, January 31st to January 31st.
The government's fiscal year is different.
Yeah. But no, it's like, I don't know. There's like
quarter I got to fit in. I got to fit in Prey sometime this quarter.
This is a good, like, I definitely have thrown this on, like, whilst video gaming. I definitely throw this on. Like, I'll be, like, exercising. I'll be, like, doing, like, kettlebell shit.
The only man I know,
like,
that needs to watch a movie while he plays video games.
I need input.
Playing story-based video games.
You're like those fucking Zoomers that have to have, like, a TV on and have to have, like, Castle Run on at the side or whatever. You know?
I gotta just, I need
input. Like, you ever see those videos of those Japanese kids playing, like, Marvel versus Capcom in the arcade while they're also playing, like, Fruit Ninja on their phone somehow?
But no, I love, I think it's such a wild, especially coming off of the heels of Meteor Man, I think it's such a wild role for James Earl Jones to be, like, cult leader sex icon, like, barbarian. I mean,
no argument there.
Yeah, he played gay Radio Raheem, and now he's, like, a fantasy Rick James.
But the movie is just nothing but big swings. Like
literally of the swords.
Nice.
The set pieces are through the roof, like the costuming's nuts. I love the score. Could there be less just bandying about? Sure, why not? But like, I don't know. I like all the chicks are in my Q zone. Like, I love this movie. This thing is
not exactly in my Q zone.
And like, and I also agree, the scene where he's like, just the montage of him just being victorious in that fighting pit is so much fun just to watch. I don't know. It's just a good time, baby. It's just a good time. So shout out to Conan the Barbarian, TJ.
Nice.
It's a tough one for me. I'm going to give this a 6. It's a 6 for me, dog. I wanted to love this movie.
Wait, can I ask you what you thought it was going to be?
Oh, I thought it was going to be 8 or 9. I remember loving this fucking movie, dude. I remember, like, watching this movie all the fucking time. I just found it, like, really, really tedious to watch. Like, it's so fucking... It just takes so fucking long for them to do anything. Now, granted, the set pieces are great and they're a lot of fun. Like, I liked the raid in the very beginning. I loved, you know, the weird, like, finding the fucking throne room is cool. The banging the witch is cool. The I love the first like ritual scene. I thought that shit looked fucking metal as hell. Like that shit, like there's so many parts in this movie where I wanted just like fucking loud ass stoner rock playing because it's so fucking like I loved it. It was so cool.
But it's not hell.
You just wanted to like play fucking what like Caius the whole time.
Or there actually is a stoner rock band named Conan. So that would be appropriate as well. Or like the sword.
Yeah, but it's after Conan O'Brien, not Conan the Barbarian.
I was thinking like the sword would be cool. Yeah. Like there's a lot of good like stoner metal like would go great with this movie. But like it's just the between the set pieces, man, it's just like God, I'm just like falling asleep. I mean, I literally fell asleep like watching this movie, you know. But I don't hate it, and I wanna really like it, and I just didn't, I did not love it. I don't hate it, and I, you know, I could see myself watching this again maybe sometime. I don't know. But yeah, it's a 6 for me, dog. Alec.
3.
Yeah.
Woo! Respectable.
I was bored to tears several times. And I tried, I really tried.
Yeah. I'm just shocked you've never seen it before.
No, this wasn't really in my wheelhouse as a kid. I was born to all those weird space-based sci-fi movies from this time where people from Earth get transported to space. Not fantasy movies. Hey,
give me the last like Starfighter any day.
This or Call or not Call Krull. I never like saw any of that stuff, or never desired to see any of that stuff. But yeah, as far as Alec goes, this ain't it.
All right.
Who's that, Sean?
I don't know, man. Like, I want to like this movie. I want to like what they're doing. Like, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger looks cool with all that makeup on him, but it's like a 5. Like, I remember the only thing I remember from Conan before we saw this movie is to crush your enemies, feel them before you, and hear the lamentation of their women. And that's exactly what I remember after this movie. It's just fucking, it's fucking ponderous, man. Like,
it's fucking ponderous. You're gonna give me a fucking dead dog after a request. Fucking ponderous, man. Fucking ponderous.
It is kind of like Krull. Like, there's a couple things going on, and then we're just fucking dicking around for like. I don't know, man. Like, I guess people had long leashes back in the day. I mean, it's not longer than some other movies we've seen, but God damn, it feels like it goes on fucking forever.
Oh, and yeah.
It just, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what you do with this. Like, cause you can cut out all the walking scenes and it would still make just as little sense as it does now. Like if you just wholesale chopped out 30 minutes is almost at random, just around all the set pieces, like, and just put up a loading screen or something, it would be fine. Like it wouldn't make a difference. There's not
what
like
the runtime on this. Was it 2.5?
2 hours and 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah, it was like 2:10.
There's not really any like deep. I mean, there's the riddle of the steel, but there's not any like deep lore. They touch on a bunch of things that I guess you're supposed to pay attention to. I don't know. Like, you know, I admire its ambition with its lack of dialogue and stuff, but maybe it could have used some dialogue, but then again, then you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger at that age and whoever else these fucking models and weightlifters are delivering all the dialogue. So it might've been really bad. I don't know. Cause Milius isn't, Milius
the
is a,
his best friend. They redubbed all his lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell.
Yeah. No, 100% was not him talking.
Milius is a fucking like a nerd. Like he's like, I'm like Jack Kerouac and this guy and that. And we've all seen Apocalypse Now. They never shut the fuck up in that movie. And he wrote that. So yeah. It's not like he's like anti, you know, he's not like a strictly show don't tell guy. I don't know, man. Like this is just, it's very unwieldy. And like this reeks of first time director. I don't know if this is the first movie he actually directed.
I think it was like, his first feature when I was reading on Wikipedia.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just like, I want to like this movie. I really do. But I just find it like very in the middle. Like, just like, whatever. It's just big dudes. I mean, I could just watch American Gladiators, honestly, like, and be out of here quicker. I don't dislike it. It's just, I don't like fantasy movies to begin with, generally. And like, there's fucking nothing going on in this
movie. Have you ever seen, speaking of fantasy movies, have you ever seen Excalibur from the 80s?
No.
That movie fucking rocks. You should watch that. Visually,
isn't that what's his face with Zardoz, the same director?
Yes, Borman. Isn't that his name? Yeah. No. That's the movie he made before Zardoz. Got the money.
Yeah, I know I'm babbling a lot, but it's a five. Like, it's just kind of like, I don't know, inoffensive, but also kind of offensive that it took so long. It's just whatever.
All right. That's Conan the Barbarian. I have a pick for next week, unless somebody else has a pick.
Last
Action Hero, honestly.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I am picking Mako. That's our connecting fiver, the guy that played the wizard.
The wizard?
And I am picking the Mark DeCostas vehicle, Brian Freeman, a movie I've been wanting to watch for years. So now I get a chance. It's called Crying Freeman. It's like a Yakuza movie.
Yeah,
based on a manga by the guy that made Lone Wolf and Cub.
What kind of corner are you painting us into?
There's other people. Radon Chong is in it.
We watched Commando.
Ron Perlman is in it.
Is it Black? What is the? Is she in the Michael Douglas, Michael Crichton, Yakuza movie too? Yeah,
I like that movie.
Yeah,
Mark
DeCostas. We can watch Iron Chef America.
I just said Mark DeCostas.
Yeah,
yeah. You can also John pick Wick one of the food? John Wick movies. Yeah, I think he was in the
one allocates. Yeah,
I didn't like it either. I never
watched the fourth one because of it.
Yeah. I heard the fourth one. Watch the fourth one.
I like the fourth one.
I haven't seen it. Crying Freeman is like about the triads. I don't know. It's a movie that I've always heard is like an underrated crime movie. So now I get a chance to watch it. So now you do too. So next week, Crying Freeman from 1995. Gosh, you got anything to promote? You want to
crush your enemies, see them driven before you, hear the lamentations of the women. Like, get out there, boys.
I would love to hear lamentations from women just once. Nice.
You know what? You never forget your first lamentation.
Maybe one day.
All right, boys.
All right, everybody. That's the show. You know what to do. Eat your own ass. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.